Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little man who was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Mercy.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled egg all over my face. What is a boy to do?
Welcome back, folks. It is Reese on the Radio right here live this Therapy Thursday, February the 23rd, 2012. That's right, Therapy Thursday right here on Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. We are Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. Don't forget the website is ReeseOnTheRadio.com, and you can, of course, catch us on Facebook at Reese on the Radio. A lot of people have been responding to a couple of issues that I brought up today. It was nice to see that there was some response. We don't always get responses, but when we do, we pay attention. I always love it when we do. Oh, wow. That's important. I just got some information on some money. Always a good sign. I'll check into that later. Anyway, so let's get to the program. What's happening today? Well, I don't usually start the show off with entertainment news, but I figured there were two big stories that had to be talked about. I don't know whether or not you guys know that Chris Brown, the R&B rapper slash singer, whatever he is being charged with another crime, this time robbery, for stealing somebody's cell phone. We'll get into that. He's absolutely of no consequence to me. But I just find it odd that this guy, you know, can't seem to stay out of some sort of trouble. But we'll get into that. But a story that everyone seems to be talking about now is this ridiculous outrage about Whitney Houston. Now, I posted the photo on my website, ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can check it out yourself. It is the cover of the National Enquirer, which is pretty much the only place where you can get the photo of Whitney Houston in her open casket. Is that creating a problem? I don't know who it's creating a problem for. Whitney's dead. I don't seem to understand what the issue is. She's dead. And Whitney didn't die. You know, God forbid, I don't want to sound cruel here, but Whitney Houston wasn't shot in the face. She didn't fall into a meat grinder. She died.
No disfigurement at all.
Yeah, no disfigurement whatsoever. So what's the beef? What is the beef with showing her picture? Now, here's why I have a problem with people having a problem. It's very simple. If you look online and you look at the photo, and again, go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com and see the picture yourself. Whitney Houston, like every other funeral you've been to, the mortician, whatever, whomever it is that they are, they doll you up. They make you, you know the old saying when they see the person who's in the coffin. Everybody says the famous line. He seems so lifelike. Because that's what they do.
Uh-uh.
Well, what's the line they use, JC?
I've seen some
so
morticians.
Natural.
Oh, yeah. They look so natural, like they're sleeping.
Yes, it just looks like they're sleeping. But that's the job of the mortician, is to make you look peaceful. He looks so peaceful. So they doll you up. They throw on a little post-mortem makeup. They do your nails. They put you in a nice suit or dress so that there can be an open casket viewing. We knew what Whitney looked like. Were we never supposed to see what she looked like dead? Why are you keeping that from us? Why should we be kept from that? We were only supposed to see her full of life. We weren't supposed to see her dead. She died. What sting were you trying to get rid of? She's dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. So what? Now, do I have a problem that if it were an employee, yes, I have a problem with that. If it was an employee at the funeral home who took the photo, some underling.
I wish I took the photo.
How much do you think you'd have gotten for it?
For that photo? I could have fetched at least 1.5.
I see 5 million. I don't think less than that.
Oh, okay, so I'll rip myself off.
You were scaling low? Oh, man, that's a $5 million photo.
I said 1.5.
No, 5 million right off the bat. I'd have taken that photo. National Enquirer wants me to take that photo. I'd have gotten them on the phone and said, listen, I'm right here. I'm next to Whitney Houston. I got my camera phone. It's 750 DDP or whatever that stuff is. I don't know. I don't know the technology talk. How to come up with some number. I'm 1280 DDP.
7 pixels.
Yeah, whatever. I got a 1900 DP pixelated.
Listen, I've been there with a sketch artist.
Exactly. I got a 15,000 DP pixelated smartphone that not only takes pictures, but I can film movies. I can go around. You want me to take some close snap-ups? I'll get a fingerprint if you want. I'd have taken a photo. I'd have been set.
Oh, man. I think we're in the wrong business.
Yeah, well, of course we are. But see, this is not about being heartless. Whitney Houston is dead. It's not about being heartless. She's dead. And she didn't die by my hands or by anybody else's hands. In retrospect, this is by her own hands. And the National Enquirer wants the picture. And who didn't want to see that woman in the coffin? Who didn't want to see it? You're a liar if you didn't want to see it. If you didn't want to see Whitney Houston laid to rest, you're a liar.
Might I add, doesn't matter if I offend anybody or not, but she actually looks pretty damn good. She's a cute corpse.
She looks beautiful.
She
That's
looks
the circle of life, as they say in The Lion King. What's the big deal? You're a liar if you didn't want to see that picture. And you're a liar if you didn't think you deserved to see the picture. Listen to me. Let me break this down to you. I found this out today, and I don't know whether or not this is true. But JC, you look this up. See if there's any truth to this. This is what I heard today. You're going to be baffled. What started the practice of the National Enquirer putting pictures of dead people, of corpses, inside their coffin on the cover was a photo taken of Elvis Presley in his casket, and they sold 16 million copies. According to the report, it put the National Enquirer on the map. Now, 16 million copies? This is a picture of Elvis Presley. It's the king, damn it. This woman was the queen.
Yeah, but back then, the Enquirer was like a buck, 75 cents.
Yeah, but doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The cost of living was just as low.
Yeah, you're right.
It wouldn't matter. The cost of living was just as low, so you got to consider it. We're talking about the king of rock and roll. This is the queen of pop and soul. Hey, wow, I'm just coined that phrase. Whitney Houston, the queen of pop and soul. How could you deprive her listening audience, her fans, those people who loved her, who gave everything for her, a chance to see her photo? JC, if I die, if and when, well, when I die, listen, the bottom line is this. I want you to make sure you tell everybody. Snap photos. I'll put them on Facebook. And I want the caption to read very simply. Back at you. That's all I wanted to read. Back at you. And you can play this audio right underneath that picture. Hey, this is what Reed said about Whitney Houston. Back at you. You can see my picture. Now, with all hopes and prayers, I hope that I look just as pretty. Doll me up. In fact, I hope I can get some plastic surgery beforehand. Make me look even better. I can't afford it when I'm alive. Why not splurge when I pass? But what the hell could possibly be the outrage?
How much more do you want your jaw squared?
Oh, you see, I thank you for recognizing that I have a square jaw. I really like my square jaw. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. I really do. I appreciate that.
Okay, whoa. This is getting weird.
No, I'm just saying, he said, how much square do you want your jaw? And I was like, thank you for recognizing that. I have a square jaw, and I actually like that. It's one of the features on me that I really appreciate.
I have a square jaw.
Yes, I have a square jaw.
No, you don't.
But there are people out there, and I see them on Facebook. They're all responding. They're like, what's the deal? What do you mean? Did you... Showing her. Did you see the picture, by the way, JC? Have you seen it? Jay? Are you still there, sir? Okay, I think we lost him. If you've not seen the picture, you need to go see it. You need to see the picture. I think everybody needs to see the picture.
It wasn't a bad picture.
You deserve it. You earned to see that picture. You earned it, damn it.
And she was fortunate because, you know, morticians usually do a horrible job.
Really? I don't know that. I mean, I will admit this, okay? I'm not big with funerals, JC. I'm not. But I had a former DJ back in the 90s. His name was Tony. And Tony was killed by a drunk driver. He was riding on his 10-speed bike, and he had a bottle of soda in one hand, and he had his hands on the brake, I mean, a hand on the handlebars on the other hand. Unfortunately, he was riding a bike, and the hand that he had on the bike, the closest thing to him was the front brake of the 10-speed, not the back brake.
Wow.
So he was coming at an intersection on the Lower East Side, on 7th Street and Avenue B.
Over the
top. Almost certain. And he's riding his bike, and he's riding it too fast. The drunk driver literally, you know, breaks the light, you know, cuts the light, and Tony grabs onto the wrong brake just on instinct instead of dropping the soda and grabbing both. He just grabs one, and, of course, the bike leans forward, and he gets hit by the car. Now, we go to his funeral, when we go to his wake, at the funeral parlor around the corner from our house. He was my next door neighbor. We go there, and I'll never forget when I went to go see him. They had his body, they had his face, shaved with a little thin beard. You know how the Spanish dudes do it, a little thin beard across the chin,
mm-hmm.
with a goatee, and they had his baseball cap on him. Real ghetto. I was very offended by that. Let the man go out in style. You got this guy in a leisure Adidas jumpsuit with a baseball cap tilted to the side. It was real Rican. I was offended. But when I looked at him, his face looked sunken in. He didn't look real. He looked like
right.
a man.
Right, color, exactly.
The color
always
that they
do.
Put on
unless you're high celebrity or got the money.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there is plastic surgery that does go on behind the scenes because every funeral I've been to, the faces were sunken in, the skin was darker.
Yeah. And it was the worst part about it was he was pale, pale white. And to put on some color, they put rouge on him.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like a freaking vampire.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll never forget that. But I have to tell you this. Here's the scary part. Now, I've been thinking about this for weeks. Because I thought about Tony after Whitney Houston died. Whenever a celebrity dies, I always think about, when I see a funeral or something, I always think about the first and last time I ever went to a funeral or a wake that I actually stayed, the exception of my grandfather. I'll never forget this. The little Puerto Rican kid, this is what they did. This is going to freak you out. They all knew Tony. But the younger kids were walking up. They were all leaning against his coffin, all looking at him like he was a science experiment. And then when I stood there over him just to go look and pay my last respects, I caught the kids poking at his skin. How nasty.
Mm-hmm.
They were reaching in and poking at him to touch him. Like they wanted to know what a dead body feels like. They didn't care that he was dead. These little freakish little urban dwellers, they didn't care. They were just wondering, hey, look, I touched the dead body. Remember when you touched him? Yeah, remember you touched him? Yeah, I touched the dead body.
No, listen, it's something about that species and their children. Or that species' children, I should say.
They're not a species. They're a race of people.
But they simply don't listen. No. When I say that, and I don't say it to be mean, but listen, when I get my wrestling shows, I say, look, do not go into the ring. You're not covered for the insurance. And a mission comes, my ring gets full of them. They done jumped the rail.
What you need to do in events like that, you just need to have somebody come out and body slam them.
If you come in the ring, you're going to get not insured. Stuff. We're not insured for kids in the ring. But it's like, and you can get on the microphone and say it 1,000 times, no children in the ring. Get out of the ring. And you turn your back, and the ring is full of them, bouncing off the ropes, and they will not listen. They simply
won't. Well, what you need to do is you not start putting stiffer penalties when you got these kids doing that. But let me get back to the point.
No, they don't look good at all.
I know. The point is that Whitney looked great. She didn't look like she wasn't a horrible picture. I mean, the guy doesn't take the greatest picture in the world anyway, so because he snapshot it like for a second. Click, click. You know, it's a little click, click. It's a snapshot.
His phone didn't rip quick enough.
Oh, it was great. I take better photos than that. And I got a little cheap phone. I can't tell you which company it is. I got a little cheap phone, and I took that picture. I'd have taken that picture. My pictures come out great. It's a grainy, awful picture. I don't know what he took it with. It must have been a Polaroid. Came in there like Uncle Jessup with a Polaroid. Hey, baby. Give me the Polaroid. And took that horrible photo. But like I said, if you want to see it, go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. There are many places online. You got to buy the Enquirer to see the photo in full view. But if you don't want to go out there and support the Enquirer, but you want to see it, and don't tell me you don't. You're a liar.
Reese.
What?
You ever kissed a corpse?
No, that's just sick, dude. Why would
it's not.
I don't know. Dude, it's just a form of necrophilia.
Dude, no.
Yes, it is. I find that complete necrophilia. You're sick.
I'm not speaking in that way.
Yeah, kissing it, like leaning down and kissing it. I almost feel like that's, you know, that's too physical for me.
Wow.
Yeah, you're touching somebody.
You ever close a corpse's eyes?
No. Why would I do that? You're talking about, like, watch a person die in front of me?
Or they're dead and you just close their eyes.
No, nasty. We'll take a break. It's Reese's break. We'll be back.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George. George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
All right, guys, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com / Reese on the Radio. 23rd day of February, 2012. So I'm glad I got that out of my system. I don't want to have to talk about that old craziness anymore. Whitney Houston. So what?
I can't believe they saw her picture.
A what? I wanted to see what she looked like in the coffin. I don't know anybody who didn't want to see her. We all wanted to see her. And don't lie, because you did too. So don't forget, it's Therapy Thursday today, and I have a very, very... I got to tell a story today, so Therapy Thursday is going to be a little deep. Trust me, I don't want any advice on this one, but I just got to tell you that Therapy Thursday is really, really deep. So if you know anybody who's out there, you better tell them to listen, because what you're about to hear is going to shock the hell out of you.
I'm intrigued. Can we do Therapy Thursday right now?
No, we'll do Therapy Thursday in the next hour. Stick around.
Well, Kool-Aid Man will be with us at about 8:30.
Okay, so fine. You should come in right at the end of it.
Don't you want to... You want to do it?
Fine, we'll wait until he comes in. Fine, we'll do it at 8:30. 8:30, Therapy Thursday. Probably a very, very deep, deep, deep discussion about something that I've been holding off on talking about this for a long time, so we'll bring it up when we bring it up. Anyway, this is actually something I found very, very odd. So you have to pardon me as I go into this, and why I know that there are radical fundamentalists within the White House administration, and how I know that there is proof that there is radical fundamentalists in the White House. In the White House. Why do I know that? Now, there's a story that didn't come out today. This actually is an old story. There's a guy by the name of John P. Holdren. He is the top science advisor to President Barack Obama. He wrote a book, he co-authored a book, with population control advocates Paul and Ann Ehrlich, that children from larger families have lower IQs. Now, just let me give you the background. Whenever you hear a study like this, never take it at face value. There is an underlying thing happening. Pardon me, that's the office phone. You normally mute the hell out of that thing. There is something underlying that is happening when you hear a story like this. So let me just break it down. The book's called Human Ecology, Problems and Solutions. Pay attention. The book's called Human Ecology, Problems and Solutions. It argued that the United States government had a responsibility to halt the growth of American population. It surely is no accident that so many of the most successful individuals are first or the only children, according to their book. Nor that children of large families, particularly with more than four children, whatever their economic status, on the average, perform less well in school and show lower IQ scores than their peers from smaller families. Now, this was a book that was published in 1973. In June of 2000, the study published in American Psychologist debunked the notion that children in larger families have lower IQs. But when Holdren appeared in the Senate Conference Science and Transportation Committee in 2009, a confirmation hearing on his appointment to run the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, he continued to argue for the benefits of smaller families on other bases. Even though it's been debunked, he's still preaching this narrative. In Human Ecology, Holdren and Ehrlich's conclusion, population control is absolutely essential if the problems now facing mankind are to be solved. Political pressure must be applied immediately to introduce the United States government to assume its responsibility to halt the growth of the American population. Now, JC, I want to ask you to do something for me. I want you to go on YouTube. I want you to find me the latest episode of a skit that Saturday Night Live did called Really, with Seth and Amy. That's exactly what it's called. I want you to find this audio. It's called, it's from Saturday Night Live, this past Saturday. Amy Poehler and, what's his name, Seth Meyers. They used to do a bit when Amy Poehler was on Saturday Night Live called Really. Amy Poehler came back last Saturday to do a piece called Really with Seth and Amy. I need you to find that audio, and I want you to play it. Because this is a Saturday Night Live skit. And this is a Saturday Night Live skit about the biggest conversation that is happening in our political scope, and that is about contraception and how they're forcing religious groups like the Catholics to give it out freely. But let me continue with the book. Holdren and Elrich called, also called in human ecology, for redistribution of wealth on a global basis. Redistribution of wealth both within and among nations is absolutely essential. If a decent life is to be provided for every human being, they wrote in their conclusions. In the section of the book entitled Solutions, in a chapter entitled Population Limitation, the future Obama White House science advisor joined with the Ulrichs in writing any set of programs that is to be successful in alleviating the set of problems described in the foregoing chapters must include measures to control the growth of the human population. The authors then questioned the values of parents who have large families. They said, quote, certain values conflict directly with numbers, although numbers may also be considered a value by some people, such as businessmen who see bigger markets, politicians who see more political power, and parents of large families. Those who promote numbers of people as a value in itself, however, may be overlooking the cheapness such abundance often brings. Now, JC, are you there? Did you have any luck? Did you find at least a piece before you uploaded it? Did you find the piece?
Well, I found three of them, but they were removed by YouTube.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, they were removed by YouTube, and it states on the videos itself.
Okay, I'll give you – this is what we'll do. Try this on for size. Can you put your microphone up to a speaker of some sort?
No, they were removed.
No. Trust me.
Okay.
You have a speaker system on your computer.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay. Go into Hulu, please. Go to Hulu.com.
To where? Hulu?
Hulu.
H-U-L-U. Why did they say they removed it, JC?
Well, because of copyright reasons.
Yeah, copyright.
YouTube. If NBC doesn't have it on there. By the way, doesn't NBC have a YouTube page?
I'm not sure, but I'll double check in 1 second.
Check and see if NBC or Saturday Night Live has a YouTube page. I'm almost certain they do. And I'll double check it, because it's very important that we get this audio. Because when I told everybody that there was a liberal agenda that was gearing towards socialism and communism in this country, nobody believed me.
Hmm. Ironically, Hulu has a YouTube page.
Hulu has it, right?
No.
Yeah.
Hulu has a YouTube page.
I'm going to see whether or not I can find Saturday Night Live's page, which they should be able to. I mean, here it is. I got Saturday Night Live's page right here. Okay, Saturday Night Lives, blah, 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 blah. No, this is somebody else's phony site. My bad. Saturday Night Live Spain. How smart. I'm going to see whether or not there is a Saturday Night Live page. There should be one. The reason why you have to find it, and if you can find it on Hulu, that's fine.
And what date was that one? That was most recent?
It's past Saturday.
Past Saturday.
Let's see if I can get early with. There we go. Seth and Amy. And there should be a page for it. I don't know whether or not this one has been removed, but if it has, I will get the audio. Okay, this is an old one. You've got to be able to find it.
I think I got it.
Okay.
I think I have it.
This is the last one?
Yes, about birth control.
And it should be about birth control, correct?
Yep. Give me about 2-3 minutes.
Okay.
Actually, however long it takes me to record it. How long is the segment, do you know?
It shouldn't be any more than 5 minutes. It's probably less than that.
All right. I'm on it.
Anyway, to get back into the story, just to make sure that we got the audio, I needed to do that. Anyway, one form of conflict between the values and numbers arises in the choice between having many deprived children or having fewer who can be raised with the best care, education, and opportunity for successful adulthood, they said on pages 228 and 229. This dilemma is equally acute, whether it is posed to a family or a society. It surely is no accident that so many of the most successful individuals are first our only children, nor that children of large families, particularly with more than four, whatever their economic status, on the average perform less well in school and score lower IQ points. Now, folks, where else have you seen this narrative? Where is this practice actually happening?
China.
It's the one-child rule. This man is the advisor in the Obama administration. This is the advisor for the President of the United States. And he wasn't voted in by Congress. He's a czar. And a czar you don't need a congressional vote to be a czar. This president has more czars than there were in Russia. Oh, yeah, that's right, another communist country. He just appointed a guy to be his advisor. And this man is talking to Congress about how he can get people to control their families. Now, what more proof do you need? And just to prove that the narrative now has turned into something that is absolutely disgusting, that is so perverted. And when I say perverted, I'm not talking about nasty perverted. You know what I mean? Perverse. It's so perverse that now people on a comedy show are using the rhetoric and the audience is laughing and applauding. They're comically being shown the way to communism. You see how this is working? We like Obama. Obama starts a conversation. We agree with it, but we don't even realize what it is that we're headed for. When I tell you, you're going to laugh. When you hear the audio, Amy Poehler even says, in fact, hold on, let me stop. You watched it. Mary watched it. Mary. Amy Poehler said there's too many people in the country already, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
Sounds like this guy, doesn't it?
Yep.
You think she read
if
the book?
There's too many people in the country, they need to get all the illegals out and stop trying to control America.
Exactly. No. The illegals can stay, but the rest of you control your families. They'll never say that to poor people. Can you imagine if this narrative was being told? If you're talking about people who have more children, more than four kids, or four and up, their children have lower IQs, but yet they're not telling any minority groups not to have children. They're not.
No, it doesn't seem like they're reaching out to anyone.
They're not reaching out to any one of those groups. And here it is that it's played so well within liberal groups. It's playing so well amongst liberal groups, they don't even hear how communist this sounds. They don't even see that this man has surrounded himself with communists.
People are blinded. They seriously are. I talk to people every day about things.
Stalin.
I talk to people today about Planned Parenthood.
But Stalin called it useful idiots. See, what happened on Saturday Night Live, you saw the way that the audience responded, right? Yeah! They were clapping and applauding. They don't even get that they're being controlled by their government. They're applauding government control.
Because they're not thinking outside of the box.
But they're not thinking. Trust me, you give them more credit than they deserve. They're not thinking. They know that the Obama administration already knows. He's won over the most important culture there is, and that is Hollywood culture. He knows that it's dominated by liberals. He knows that they are going to poke fun at anyone who has traditional values because they're the progressives in the movement. And that's just like I talked about yesterday with Hollywood films. This is what it is that's happening within Hollywood. There's an agenda. The narrative has been set. Let's promote it. And Seth and Amy don't even realize that if someone were to tell them, if Amy decided, or if her husband decided, or if her daughter decided, when they got older, I want to have a large family. What would she be? Well, you know, there's a study that says that if you have too many kids, the kids are
going to be stupid.
They're going to be stupid. And that's what it is that's being taught.
The other kids will.
Exactly. How are we coming, JC? You get any luck?
Getting ready to upload as we speak.
Thank you, sir. So let me continue on with this. With this thing. I read this earlier today, still to this day, still baffles me. So the bottom line is that this story and came out today that this man had written this book many years ago. And the fact that, I mean, it's clear Barack Obama's read this book. Forget about it. It's evident to me that he read this man's book. He knows his work, and he knows that he believes in the same ideology as Barack Obama. So that's the reason why he has him there. Dr. Joyce Brothers, who a lot of you I'm sure are aware of, they say the columnist Dr. Joyce Brothers answered a question sent to the Good Housekeeping in February 1981. By a mother of four asking if she should consider having another baby as follows. Studies have shown that children reared in small families are brighter, more creative, and more vigorous than those from large families, the authors noted. However, they said, the belief that for a particular set of parents in a modern country like the United States, a larger family will lead to children with lower IQs appears to be simply wrong. The belief that birth order effects on intelligence act directly to a decrease in the intelligence of children born later in a given family also appears to be simply wrong. Do large U.S. families make low IQ children? No, said the authors. Are birth order and intelligence related to one another in U.S. families? They also say no. But this man is still promoting it. The Obama administration has issued a regulation set to take effect on August 1st that will require all healthcare plans in the United States to cover sterilizations, artificial contraceptions, and abortive physicians without any fees or copay. Many American religious leaders, including all of the nation's Roman Catholic bishops, have denounced the regulation as an attack on religious liberty because it will force many Americans to act against their conscience and the teachings of their faith. Now.
Can you go back down to that?
Sure, absolutely.
I want to read that again.
Sure, not a problem. So that is the state of our union. And here it is clearly. A president who has aligned himself with people who are going to take your reproductive rights away.
And how are they doing this without, how are they doing this without fees or copays? Who the hell is paying for that?
You.
Well, that's not without fees.
No. You're paying for them to get it without fees. It comes out of your taxpayer dollars.
That's not without fees, because somebody's paying fees.
Oh, it's without fees for the person who doesn't have to pay for it. Oh, someday. See, this is the narrative they're talking about, saying without fees. The bottom line is taxpayers pay for it. And that's where he's wrong in this article, because he should say it isn't without fees on the taxpayer's dime.
If you have health insurance, so I have to make a copay to go see a gynecologist for a regular pap smear or just a routine GYN visit, but if I want to go get sterilized or get artificial contraceptive, there's no copay. If I want them to sterilize me,
no.
If I want them to fix me like a cat on my birthday, August 1st, at the ripe age of 38.
Yeah, they can do it.
This is unbelievable.
I've been saying this for the longest. I've been called radical. You don't know what you're talking about. He would never do that. But of course he would. Of course he would do it.
And he's doing it a couple of days before his own birthday.
Yeah, what is he, the 6th?
I think so. I know he's a Leo. He's a Leo and a lefty, which bothers me because I'm a Leo and a lefty, and Leos are supposed to be smarter than that, and lefties are definitely supposed to be even smarter than that.
Look, as I said before, this is who he is. Now listen to this. Consider everything I've already told you.
This week, the birth control debate came to the forefront again after Congressman Daryl Issa called a hearing on President Obama's health care mandate, but failed to invite any women to join the panel. That brings us to a segment we like to call Really with Stephanie.
Congressional Committee on Reproductive Rights, and you did not invite any women. Really? That would be like not inviting any men to a congressional committee debating the Maxim Top 100. Really?
Men have to be smarter when they talk about birth control. This week, Foster Freeze, the billionaire backer of Rick Santorum, joked that when he was young, women held an aspirin between their knees for birth control. Good one. But do you really want to start a discussion of healthcare with when I was young? When you were young, people died of polio. I mean, really?
Now, later in the week, Freeze apologized for his comments. Well, we'd love to accept your apology, Foster, but you made a mistake, and now you're going to have to live with that mistake for the rest of your life. Really?
Really?
And you know why we need birth control? There are too many people. Do you guys remember the opening ceremony at the Chinese Olympics? They built pyramids out of people. Pyramids!
There were people pyramids.
People pyramids. That should be an advertisement for condoms.
Meanwhile, both Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum used the rhythm method, and with 5 and 8 kids respectively, it seems like they might have even less rhythm than we thought. I mean, really.
The Virginia House of Representatives this week passed a bill that required women to have a transvaginal ultrasound before having an abortion. Really? Now, don't get me wrong. I love transvaginal. It's my favorite airline. So many miles on transvaginal that I always get upgraded to lady business.
Also passed a bill saying life begins at conception. What's next? Life begins at last call? Life begins when you click send on your Match.com profile?
Mike Huckabee joined the fight against President Obama's mandate saying, we're all Catholic now. Really? You know who is not all Catholic now? All Catholics now. 98% of Catholic women say they've used birth control, and the other 2% are always the ones trying to get a church to start a softball team.
Really?
Don't tell me what to do.
This has been Really with Stephanie.
So, do I need to make my point any clearer? I don't need to make my point any clearer. The liberal narrative has already taken over the entire lexicon. The bottom line is that here it is, they're sitting there telling you, look how many people there were in China.
Don't you think that they're, when I listen to that this time, don't you think that she's being facetious and saying that's what he really should have said?
No.
Or that's what they really should have said?
No.
That's what they really meant?
No. When she even, she talks about the rhythm. They were talking about the rhythm method, but of course, Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum both have a large family.
Yes.
I think he has 7 kids. I think Mitt's
eight
got like 12. Oh, he's got 8 kids? I think
one of them's got 8, the other one's got 5.
But the bottom line is that, okay, fine. So they said they used the rhythm method, but they were all planned pregnancies. Each and every one of those are planned pregnancies. And they can afford to have those large families. But again, here it is.
They're building their own empire.
Right. Of course they are. Oh, sure they are. One's got their own basketball team, for crying out loud. Well, both of them do. But the bottom line is look, for them to sit up there and try to create this or to relate this as something that's good for everyone, look at how they deal with the conversation, about the statements made by Foster Freeze. When he says, putting an aspirin between your legs. And then she said, oh, back when you were days, there was no cure for polio. As if to say, the association is like, we've progressed. You know, look how much the world has changed. And that's what that whole argument is. You know, all that they say is you're an old white guy. What do you know about things today? You know, back in the days, there was no cure for polio when you were a kid. You know, that's what, and of course, it's to demonize and demagogue. That's why that's being used. It's a disgusting way for them to behave, but you know what? I get it. I understand it's Saturday Night Live. But remember.
But do you think that everyone perceived it that way?
Of course. No. That you're 100% right about. No one is seeing it the way that I'm seeing it. This is what makes them ignorant. This is what makes them useful idiots. Because all they're hearing is, it's about women. Oh, it's about women's health. Contraception is about women's health?
No. It's about controlling birth.
Yeah, I mean, please, somebody explain to me how contraception is about women's health. Does contraception...
If you're going to say that contraception is about women's health, it has to be about women's and men's health, and that would be contraceptive via a condom.
Exactly. That's the only health I know. If you want to talk about a woman's health, you want to keep them from getting sick, from AIDS, gonorrhea, syphilis, the clap. Wear a condom. Now, if that's where you want to go, sure. We will give out condoms to every woman who wants one. But what else am I supposed to give you? Oh, I'm supposed to give you an IUD? Oh, I'm supposed to give you birth control? Oh, I'm supposed to give you the morning after pill?
I wonder how old you have to be to stay sterilized.
What did you say, JC?
A fisting kit. You can't get pregnant with anal sex. I read that on Planned Parenthood today. Although, if any leakage.
Yeah, but the bottom line is.
Picture of vulva,
all I want to know is if you want to make the argument, and there is not someone out there, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney, Ron Paul, they won't throw this back in liberal space and just go, explain to me how contraception is protecting women's health. Now, this was an argument that was made today. I'm going to find the audio in the next break. They brought in a woman to speak to a Democratic Congress, and the woman was talking about how because this woman could not receive contraception, the woman got a tumor and died. I'm sitting there just trying to figure out going.
Why couldn't she get?
I don't know because she couldn't get it because her copay wouldn't pay for it or whatever it was that she. And they always drag one person out.
Listen. If you have health insurance,
no. What they're saying
is, if you have health insurance, you can go and get these things. It's readily available to anyone.
No, it's not. Remember, this is what liberals do. They drag out a poster child for a false narrative. So they can put a face to it. Look what happened to her. That's all they say. Look what happened to her. This can happen to you. Barack Obama says this, and this is one of his greatest lines. He said in a speech 2 days ago. He says, we want to make sure that if you get sick, you won't have to go bankrupt. Name a person who went bankrupt when they got sick. You know somebody? Bankrupt?
Not necessarily, but people that don't really have money and then end up getting sick and they have to spend all that money on whatever money they have on medication and on things.
Well, do they go bankrupt? I've never heard one person file for bankruptcy.
Okay, they may not, not literally in the term of bankrupt.
Yes, it is tough to pay for medication. Medication and prescriptions are high. But when has there ever been someone who's gotten so sick that they went bankrupt? Never. It doesn't happen. There's no such thing. We have the best medical care in the world. He's saying if somebody gets cancer.
Wait a minute, Reese. I beg to differ with you. Yes, we have the best medical
care
in the world.
Absolutely.
For the people that can afford it. If you go into a hospital and you have Medicaid, and if you go in and you're sick and you have Medicaid, and I go in and I'm sick and I have Blue Cross Blue Shield, I'm getting better treatment than you are.
Mary.
I've seen it.
If I stab you with this pen, will they treat you at the hospital?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to treat me better because I have health insurance.
Excuse me.
If I didn't, they would not
shot on the street and you didn't have health care, would they let you die?
If they thought that it was going to take too much to not let
you die. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Can you believe this, what you're hearing, Jason?
It is a fact.
No, it's not.
If you were shot with no ID and they didn't know who you were.
If you were shot with no ID and no one knew who you were, okay, the doctors take a Hippocratic oath.
But that doesn't mean that they live up to that Hippocratic oath.
Of course they do. It's against the law.
It's against the law if they don't.
And listen to me. Do you know how many Latinos get stabbed in D.C.?
And they
many black kids get shot
and they
in
have
D.C.?
To get surgery.
And,
no, it doesn't
and
matter
you let there be an investigation to where...
No. It's against the law.
I understand
Mary.
It's against the law, but who is fighting that?
Well, Mary.
That's insane. I cannot believe I'm hearing this.
It's true.
Who taught you?
It happened.
Mary, it's absolutely unfathomable that you believe
it. I have seen it.
You're going to have to show me where a doctor turned down a patient who was dying on
a
gurney.
They don't turn them down. They do what they think they can do.
What? They do everything
they can do.
It's their oath.
No,
they
don't.
Only
no, they don't.
No,
they
maybe
don't.
In Cuba, they don't
no,
do that.
They don't.
Mary,
that's impossible. Oh, my God,
absolutely
I cannot believe I'm hearing that. I'm shocked by this. Listen.
That's the monster you created, buddy.
No, this isn't a monster. I didn't create this monster. The fact that she would believe that, do you understand that if the person is an illegal alien and they are killed and they are shot and hurt in this country, they do everything to keep that person alive because once he is in that hospital, he is under their care. If they do not, if they cause that person to die, you can sue the hospital. You can sue the entire administration if they don't do everything that was in their power, regardless of your health care status.
You let there be an investigation and they find that you died for something simple or preventative?
That's what
no,
I'm saying.
Okay, I can understand if it's something simple and preventative, but they have ways to saying, no, this
you'd lose
wasn't
a medical license
wasn't
for it.
Unpreventative.
Do you understand?
Yes, you can, but there's so many doctors and so many healthcare providers that get away with it every single day, just like insurance fraud. Do you know how much insurance fraud is going on? Holy love of Jesus, I'm telling you.
I cannot believe that
it's
I'm
happening.
Here.
It happens every single day. Day.
I'm sure there's a bad apple here and there. I'm sure there's a bad apple here and there, but I can't imagine a doctor willing to risk his career and the money that he makes.
I have to take a break. I'm completely beside myself. I'm beside myself right now. It's Reese on the radio, 347-308-8701. We'll be back.
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Perry had a little lamb in pieces white as snow, and everywhere that Perry went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Top of the hour right here on Reese on the Radio. 1 minute after the hour, 8:01 Eastern Standard Time on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. A very heated debate just, you know what? I want to be able to sit out and have a conversation about this, and you know what? We may do it tomorrow. But there is, of course, other pressing news. Speaking of healthcare, the obesity problem has taken such a toll on the American people today that they are willing to approve a drug, the FDA for that matter, they are willing to approve a drug that creates side effects that I believe could kill an overweight person. But the American public has killed.
Yes.
That's right. The drug has killed people. And the drug is called Qnexa. I'm looking at it. It looks like an O, but it's a Q. Qnexa. And apparently it's going to be approved by the FDA. But the side effects are extremely troubling. The one that really affects me personally when I look at it is heart palpitations, an increased heart rate. So the last thing you want on an overweight person, an obese person, is an accelerated heart rate.
And that's the last thing you want on any person.
But especially an overweight person.
Any person.
But especially a regular person is not going to be taking Qnexa. An overweight person on Qnexa who has an elevated heart rate. I don't see that as a good thing.
A skinny person on Qnexa is a junkie.
So why are they putting it out?
Why are they putting it out?
Because they're trying to kill fat people. You can't control the Twinkies.
No.
You want to kill them.
No. It's desperation. It is desperation. This government has tried everything under the sun. Everything under the sun. Now, mark my words. I tell you every time I get a chance to that I am 67% right. This is the new contraception issue. Because if the FDA approves Qnexa, then they are going to find a way for Qnexa to be distributed to people who are overweight for free. Why would the Food and Drug Administration be pushing a drug that has so many debilitating side effects? Now, JC, did you see what the side effects were? I had them. I can't find or seem to find all of them. Some of them, which I did find.
I actually caught the report on the CBS Evening News.
Do you remember what the side effects were?
Well, potential stroke, heart attack,
right?
A couple things. But I want to be accurate. I want to make sure, so I'm going to go ahead and look it up real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. I'm looking it up
think,
as well.
People
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
As another version of Fen-Phen.
In fact, it has some of the fen-phen drug in it.
Okay.
It is partially laced with fen-phen, or the drug that's found from fen-phen. Now, they say it's a hybrid drug, but they're saying that the results from this drug, Qnexa, have demonstrated meaningful efficiency benefit and that there are consequences to non-treatment of obesity. That's what made them change the ruling by the FDA. In fact, according to this, it says Qnexa is a combination of two drugs, and that's phentermine, which is fen-phen.
A derivative of fen-phen.
Right, exactly, which is a stimulant, and I hate these long words, a topramate, an epilepsy and migraine drug, also known by the name of Topamax. The New York Times reported that the use of Qnexa led to an average weight loss of approximately 10% body weight after 1 year. However,
after how long?
After a year.
After a year. Get your fat ass outside and walk 2 miles.
You can do that on your own.
Walk 2 miles a day, eat fruit and vegetables and chicken and fish.
Yeah.
Join the gym, it's only $10 a month.
Anyway, they're expected to market Qnexa to those who meet the government's obesity standards, which is calculated at a body mass index of 30 or greater. The labeling will include instructions stating that for those who lose less than 3% of their body weight in 3 months should stop taking the drug. That's according to WebMD. One-third of Americans are obese. This has been linked to high blood pressure, diabetes, and other serious health problems. It's also saddled the healthcare industry with billions of dollars in healthcare treatment. So the bottom line is that this is a government mandated drug.
Okay, but what I don't understand, they're trying to governmently mandate this drug, okay? That is going to cure you from your obesity 10% of in a year. Give me a break. If I dieted the right way for 3 months, I could lose more than 50 pounds. So I don't need any pill or any drug that's going to cause me to have seizures or probably bust my heart open or anything else to help me lose 10% of my weight in a year.
And may cause birth defects.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm already here. So.
No, talking about if you decide to.
I know. I'm kidding. It just doesn't make any sense. So, and the reason why the government wants to eliminate fat people or the fatness of people is because they feel like this is going to be too much of a burden on healthcare. So you're eliminating them or attempting to eliminate them from being fat, but now they have heart problems, now they have high blood pressure, now they have all these chronically ill things that come along with losing weight. Okay, so now you're skinny, but now you have high blood pressure, you have heart problems.
Anal bleeding.
Anal bleeding. Your kid's going to look like a fucking Mongolian.
That's just vicious.
What the? You know, I mean.
Mongoloid would have been appropriate.
A Mongoloid, yeah. But a Mongolian, wow. But it's not as though that we don't suffer with those problems, and issues anyways.
So
that's why it's so easy to go to get voted over.
I'm sorry, what was that, JC?
I said obese people already suffer with high blood pressure, elevated heart rate. I mean, if you're suffering with it anyways, what more could the pill hurt?
Why not? If you're suffering from it anyways, why don't you just make it work?
That's the idea.
That's the idea. That's the reason why I got voted over so easy.
Listen, most fat people want to lose weight. People don't want to be fat. Who the hell wants to be fat? You want to put on clothes. You want to look good, whether you're a man or a woman, whatever. Most people don't want to be fat. But at the same time, they don't want to do what it takes to lose the weight. And I guarantee you that it is much easier and much better for you to lose the weight in a more natural, holistic way by getting off of your fat ass and stop eating Twinkies and going out there and taking a walk, walking one in the morning. Once a day in the morning, just go out and walk. Have a
easier said than done.
No, you know what, JC? If you're that fat,
it's easier said than done. Everyone is different, Mary, but that's you. No, you can't speak for everyone. That's
no,
you, though.
Listen, I've had weight problems all my life.
It's easier said than done.
No, it's not that difficult. All it takes is self-motivation. But now we have to be motivated by the government.
So, JC, are you saying if I'm getting this right, JC, are you agreeing with the idea that the government should mandate this?
No, I think it's too dangerous for this drug to hit the market.
Oh, okay. We agree with that. But if there were if there was a safer drug, would you agree with the mandate?
If there was a safer drug that was tested and proven, yeah, because you have so many big people that have absolutely no willpower. They suffer from depression. I mean, it's a compound of issues that's involved before you can say, oh, well, get up and go out and take a walk. It's not that easy.
JC, do you think that I don't comprehend that? You think that I don't understand that? But I'm going to tell you one thing. Nothing means more to me than my life. And if it gets to the point where I'm going to lose my life because I can't put a freaking Twinkie down, it's a problem.
Let me read.
And we have to be responsible for ourselves. I mean, you are responsible for getting yourself big. Now, I'm not saying you personally, but you are responsible for anybody who is responsible for getting themselves big. I understand that some people have health problems and health issues and their metabolism is low, and it does, or it's in hibernation like mine was for so long. But listen, instead of them pushing the pills and all these artificial ways, why are we not pushing other ways? There are holistic ways where you can go, you can find out what your blood type is, to find out what food you should be eating. You should be keeping your body in a homeostasis status. There's things that can be done naturally.
Let me read this part here. These are the heart risks. Concerns. The consequences of making a mistake here are huge, according to cardiologist Michael Lauer, who's one of the two panel members who voted against Tunexa. He told the New York Times, "We've unfortunately had many examples of having made mistakes before. Side effects of Tunexa include increased heart rate, as we mentioned, heart attacks, and arrhythmias. Critics believe these risks are far too substantial to allow Tunexa to hit the market, especially since the long-term effects are unknown. Public health cannot tolerate another diet drug approved that has not been accepted for cardiovascular risk, especially in light of the suggested findings of Tunexa." That was according to Cindy Wolf, the director of the Health Research Group and the Advocacy Group for Public Citizen.
So the long-term effects of this drug is unknown.
Well,
yeah,
that's right. Here is the scary part, and this is about what it does to pregnant women. Pregnant women are particularly at risk. Clinical trials reveal potential concerns over birth defects in babies whose mothers took Tunexa during pregnancies. Topramate and Topamax, one of the two drugs in Tunexa, has been linked with the risk of cleft lip and palate in babies whose mothers took the drug while pregnant, according to WebMD. Now that's...
Well,
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, but they're saying Vivis or Vivis has said it will formulate a plan to make sure pregnant women do not take the drug.
How do you do that? What if you get pregnant while you're on the drug?
Then it's in your system.
It's in your system. There's no way to secure that. You may not give it to a currently pregnant woman, but what if you give it to a woman who ends up pregnant?
Well, I think the solution to all of this, all the stupid medication, everything, because every medication, whether it's for weight loss, whether it's for high blood pressure, whether it's for heart, whether it's for, you know, pink eye, whether it's for whatever, everything has a side effect.
Sure.
And the side effects nine times outweigh the benefits of the drug. So if we could get into a different state of mind, a different state of country, a different state of medicine, there are so many natural resources out here that are everywhere that can help us become healthy people. or healthier people. We don't need the drugs and the doctors and the this and the that. Yes, there are, is an obviously a necessity for that, but not the way that people abuse it. You know, so you get a cold. You get the doctor, you get pumped up with meds. How about you just eat some oranges, drink some orange juice, have some soup, do something that is going to take some vitamins, do something like that. You don't have to take antibiotics. But that's the answer for everything. Oh, just give me some pills. You're in a little bit of pain, I'll give you some pain meds. You know, here, why don't you, you know, shoot some heroin? I mean, whatever.
No, when you have a problem that's gotten this far out of order, or this far gone, first off, it's going to take education. That's educating those who are around these obese individuals. They have no idea what it means to support them. Their idea of supporting them is helping them get what it is that they want when it comes to food, because it pleases them. Then you have to work on the mental state of the obese individual themselves to get them to understand their value. Because they suffer from low self-esteem and depression. Like I said earlier, it's a compound of issues. You just can't jump up and say, go walk.
Please let me jump in.
It's like telling an alcoholic to sit in a package store and sober up.
Why are they suffering from depression? No. When you're an alcoholic and you don't get the alcohol that you've been pumping in your body for X amount of years, when you're a true alcoholic, you go through detox. Your body, you physically need it. It's like heroin. You don't physically need a freaking Twinkie.
You don't think food is a drug?
Food can be addictive if you allow yourself to become, if that's all you surround yourself with, if you never go outside, you don't have any friends, you're not social, you don't do any of that, and then food becomes your friend. And then after you eat it, of course, it's your enemy, because then you're like, oh, I'm such a fat cow, I shouldn't have ate that. You know, I didn't deserve to eat that. Or if you harbor food in your room, or you won't eat in front of people because you're afraid of what they're going to say if you're not eating a salad or whatever. And depression and all that stuff.
You're proving my point.
JC, all of that, but if you don't get up and start making a change and just saying, you know what, enough is enough. I've been depressed for too long. I've been wasting my life away. I've been watching people.
Most people don't even know that they're depressed, Mary.
Excuse me,
most people don't even know that they're depressed.
How can you not know? Who doesn't know that they're depressed?
A lot of people don't know
that they're suffering from depression. You know what I mean? Like, some people know that they get depressed, but they don't know that they're suffering from depression.
Just because you're feeling down and or aggravated for the moment, or feeling down yourself for the moment, but it goes a lot deeper than that when it's deeply rooted within you. And the thing is, conditioning that individual to, like I said, to understanding their value, their worth,
and the value of life,
it's a lot simpler than just get up off the couch and walk. In fact, that's a little more insulting and a little more, makes you a little more depressed. It goes back to the little girls on the soccer field. Well, kick the ball this way. If you don't kick the ball this way, then she sits there and cries.
I'm going to share something with you because I feel compelled to share this with you, and I'm going to share it with all the other listeners, okay? And this will be the first time that anybody has heard this, other than my personal friends. I remember I was like almost 300 pounds. And I never went anywhere. I never did anything. All I did enough to get by. I went to work every day. I never let my weight not allow me to go to work. I went to work every day. I was eating totally and completely unhealthy. And it got to a point where I was standing in the mirror, and I was like, damn, fat girl, it is time for you to go. You can't, I used to sit and talk to myself in the mirror and call myself a fat ass and be like, fat girl, you're out of here because you're better than this. you're, you know, not because I was fat. I mean, I still love myself, but I didn't like this fat suit that I was wearing.
You couldn't have spoken to yourself like that.
You Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. And the only way that I lost weight was to get up, to challenge myself. Instead of just doing what I was so used to doing, I had to be like, you know what? I don't care what people think of me. I'm going to go out and make a move, because if I don't, I'm going to eat myself to death, because eating has just become my social outing or my social my social inning, really, because I was just doing
your
it
safe
in the
place.
House. Yeah, it was
safe
my
place.
But you know, you can't continue to go on like that. And at some point in time, if you can't look at yourself and say enough is enough, then you need to probably seek some other help from, like, a therapist or somebody, because you probably have some type of chemical imbalance.
There you go, proving my point again. You're proving my point again.
I'm not saying that people don't have those issues.
Huh?
I'm not saying that people don't have those issues, JC.
Most morbidly obese people do have those issues. And like I said, it has to start with their support system, those that surround them. Then you need to recondition the individual. And what you did when you said you stood in the mirror, you reconditioned yourself. You have the willpower to do so. Not many do.
But why do you think that is? Why do you think that people? Why am I different?
Why are you? Because everybody's different.
But why am I that different? That, I mean, what's the difference?
No, because you're not the only one that's ever done that. But you don't. You're not the only one that's ever done that. But for every Mary, while you're bugging, that has done that, there's at least 4 or 5 morbidly obese people who can't.
Or who won't.
Is it that you can't, or that it's just too hard? You just have to put.
You don't. You, listen.
So much easier just to open the refrigerator.
You don't realize, and the food is far more comforting than dealing with however else thinks.
You're making me feel like people have like this this victim. I'm a victim of my own circumstances.
I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's saying that. He's just saying that there's some people who just don't have the motivation.
Because that's what doesn't allow you to
do
get
you even
out of
hear you cutting people off?
Yes, I do.
No.
Baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe.
Craig.
But I got you, Craig. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise
you,
none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. The number is 347-308-8701. Log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You want to see a picture of Whitney Houston on the cover of the Inquirer inside the casket? Log on now. That's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Reese is spelled with an S. Anyway. Please stop telling people that. Anyway, I don't know if anybody knows about this story. I covered this back in 2008 when it happened. excuse me. Former Senator John Edwards and former Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards had a mistress by the name of Raelle Hunter. And it turns out that they've settled their court battle today out of court, that all copies of a sex tape that was recorded will be destroyed. According to North Carolina court officials and a Hunter spokesperson, Raelle Hunter and former John Edwards' aide, Andrew Young, along with his wife, Sherry, agreed to end their dispute more than 2 years after the case was originally filed. Under the terms of the settlement, all known copies of the sex tape are to be destroyed within 30 days. If other copies of the tape surface later, the agreement requires those to be destroyed as well. The court determined that other disputed items in the case, including a series of intimate photos of Hunter and her daughter, belong to Ms. Hunter and would be turned over to her. Andrew Young and his wife have admitted no liability. Rael Hunter spokesperson Rosemarie Terenzio told ABC News Today that Rael Hunter is very pleased she won. Rael Hunter sued the Youngs in January of 2010, claiming the couple had stolen from her a personal and private videotape that came to be known in court filings as the Edwards sex tape. She asserted that the Youngs were using the tape to help promote the Youngs' book, The Politician, which chronicles Edwards' 2008 run for Democratic presidential candidate and the affair that came out about Rael Hunter. Now, for those of you who don't know, I know this story backwards and forwards. I know this story better than I know, okay, maybe not better than, but probably as well as I know the story of my son's birth. I know this story extremely well. What did we find out about Kool-Aid Man? Is he coming on or what?
No answer.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So I know this story backwards and forwards. And why I know this story, I have no idea. But since we were talking about the National Enquirer, I figured I have to break it down. Now, we know that John Edwards was married to Elizabeth Edwards, and she had cancer, and he started messing around with this videographer, Rael Hunter. They ended up having a baby. He denied it when the National Enquirer was pressing it and pressing it and pressing it, and the regular mainstream media would not cover it because they loved them some John Edwards, and they were going to protect him no matter what. And they did protect him until they caught him at the Beverly Hilton, the same hotel where Whitney Houston died. Inside the Beverly Hilton, John Edwards was coming out of Rael Hunter's hotel room, and the National Enquirer was waiting for him in the back entrance. And as he walked out, the reporters from National Enquirer were there with microphones and camera in hand, asking him why he was in California, what was he doing at the Beverly Hills Hilton. And he ran. He booked it. Ran his behind into a lobby bathroom. He ended up pulling the door on the bathroom. In fact, it was described by the reporters of the National Enquirer that he was inside the bathroom, holding the door with both hands, with his feet planted against the wall to keep them from being able to swing the door open. A security officer came in, finally got in, looked at John Edwards, who was very dismayed, sweating profusely, and asked the security guard to escort him out and to get rid of the reporters. The security guard walked out, went to the reporters for the National Enquirer and said, "You guys are going to have to leave," protecting John Edwards, until the reporter turned and said to the security guard, "This is my room key, sir. I'm a resident here. Ask Mr. Edwards to show you his room key." And he could not. And so they could not escort the reporters out of the Beverly Hilton. But Mr. Edwards did have to leave. He was escorted out by security. There were photos that were taken of him leaving. And he immediately called ABC News and did a Nightline interview where he admitted to the affair finally, after the National Enquirer had already broken the story weeks in advance. Turns out that that little cretin made a sex tape with Rael Hunter. And now it's finally been settled. To let you know who these people, the Youngs, are, Andrew Young was one of John Edwards' aides. John Edwards, to cover up the affair, went so far as to ask Andrew Young to tell the public that he was the father of Rael Hunter's child, even though John Edwards was. He was also considered to be a running mate for Barack Obama. But I'm just saying. Figured I had to throw that in. But that's how they get down. Anyway, in other news, did you guys hear about the 9-year-old girl? This is a very, very sad, sad story. And I don't know whether or not this helps the health issue or it hurts it. But when I saw this story, I didn't even know how to respond. But I always feel bad. There's nothing worse than when you find out a child dies under any circumstances. Apparently this happened out in Alabama. Authorities are saying that a 9-year-old girl named Savannah Harden died after being forced to run for 3 hours as punishment for having lied to her grandmother about eating candy bars.
Oh, my God.
Severely dehydrated, the girl had a seizure and died days later. Now, the grandmother and the stepmother, who police say meted out the punishment, were taken into jail on Wednesday to face murder charges. Witnesses told deputies Savannah was told to run and not allowed to stop for 3 hours on Friday. The girl's stepmother, who is a 27-year-old named Jessica May Harden, called police at 6:45 p.m. telling them Savannah was having a seizure and was unresponsive. Simpson said he saw, that's a police officer, I apologize. He's a neighbor, I apologize. He saw a little girl running around at 4 p.m., but didn't see anybody chasing her or coercing her. I saw her running down there. That's what I told the detectives. Simpson said from his home on a hill overlooking the Harden's home. But I don't see how that would kill her. Authorities say they're trying to determine whether Savannah was forced to run by physical coercion or by verbal commands. Deputies were told the girl was made to run after lying to her grandmother, the 46-year-old. Wow, mother's 46. Grandmother's 46. Wow. Anyway, after having eaten a candy, according to the sheriff's office spokesperson. She died on Monday at Children's Hospital in Birmingham. According to a news release from the sheriff's office, the sheriff's release said an autopsy report showed the girl was extremely dehydrated and had a very low sodium level. The poor girl has died. Which, if there's any truth to that harsh punishment,
she went into metabolic shock.
That may have been the case. And that is sad nonetheless. See, again, I don't know exactly what it is that you're supposed to do when you're punishing a child. I mean, well, that's a little outlandish. You're making a child run for 3 hours. And if there's any truth to that story, we'll know. We'll find out when it does indeed happen. This story absolutely sickens me because there's apparently truth to it because he is openly admitted to it. A South Carolina man who told his fellow firefighters that he was one of the first responders at 9/11 has admitted that he lied.
Oh, my God.
Jordan LaFander, a former Cedarhurst, Long Island volunteer firefighter, said this week that he was sorry for telling firefighters firefighters in Palmetto State that he was a captain of the FDNY's Ladder 133, which lost 12 men on September 11th. You know, once you tell one lie, you got to keep up that lie, he told CBS News in New York. On Wednesday, I got caught up in the whole 9/11 anniversary and just lied. I was not a member of the FDNY, was not a captain in Ladder 133. I did not survive. Sorry, let me get that quote. He did not survive the disaster anymore than those of us who watched it on television, according to an article that Lou Young of CBS 2 News wrote. Dressed in a uniform with an FDNY patch, LaFander spoke at a 9/11 memorial in Spartanburg, South Carolina last year, telling the crowd he attended 47 funerals in 3 weeks for brothers who died that day. He received a standing ovation. Should it be considered a crime? Because I almost feel like that's just as bad as saying you were in Nam. And I know I'm not allowed to use that term. I should say Vietnam. Only guys who are in Nam.
Stolen valor? Of course it's a crime.
So it is stolen valor. That's quick. Is stolen valor a crime?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Then why didn't that happen to Senator Blumenthal in Connecticut, who made that famous speech? When we got back from Vietnam, he never went to
Connecticut.
Vietnam.
Again, in Connecticut. Senator Richard Blumenthal,
United States Senator. Wait a minute, who recently declared war on Iran.
Oh, did he?
Blumenthal and some other kid, yeah.
He's a liberal. Well, he is Jewish, though. So maybe they, okay, fine. I can see him going. I can see him not towing the party line on that and having a little bit of tribalism. But yeah, so stolen valor, what is there a sentence for that?
It's a lot going on for stolen valor. They're going to change the laws right now to stiffen the penalties.
Say that again? JC, I didn't hear you. Okay, I lost him.
I'm here. I was just watching a story on the other day on the news with regards to there were people that were claiming to have been in Iraq and Afghanistan. Oh. And there's this guy down in Virginia who devotes, down in your neck of the woods, that devotes all of his time to chasing down people that are potential
liars.
Basically liars.
Uh huh. And he tracks down people who are lying about their service.
And right. And they were just talking about some of the changes of the laws. I don't mean to fumble over my words, but I'm looking it up at the same time while I'm talking to you.
I got you.
I just watched that story, and I think they should carry the same penalties, and they're trying to get tougher and stiffer with those penalties for people who do that.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting. That's incredibly interesting. I'm trying to get this story. And if I can, I'll try to read it. But apparently there's a story about a man in Ohio who's been ordered to make an apology to his estranged wife on Facebook after a post he wrote or face jail time. And the only thing that's here appears to be a video. So I'm going to take a break so I can watch this video. Then we're going to talk about it. And then, of course, after that, we'll come back at 9 o'clock for Therapy Thursday. I've got something that I need to admit, and I don't know whether or not people are going to be shocked, but they might be. So stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We will be back shortly we'll end out the hour, and then we'll come back and we'll do what we do best. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob. and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his shit outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lewis.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
It's Reese on the Radio live on BlogTalkRadio.com/Reese on the Radio. I have no choice, folks. I have to interrupt our broadcast for this audio, okay? I'm going to push. I just have to do this. I've never in my life ever heard anything so insane in my entire life. So I'm going to play this, and please bear with me because the audio may not be the greatest audio ever, but it's just something that I have to do. So just bear with me real quick while I do this. Listen to this story.
Okay, so how many of you know someone who plays every detail of their life out on Facebook, good or bad? Well, tonight this local man may have everyone reconsidering their Facebook status because he's facing jail time for what he posted. News 5, Terry Daniels has a Facebook feud tonight. Terry?
Well, sure, you could imagine actually facing jail time for something you posted on Facebook, but then you're ordered to actually post something, an apology, on the same social media site. The other question at this hour is, what about the First Amendment?
No, I just went on Facebook to vent.
Mark Byron says it was his frustration over his upcoming divorce and child visitation that led to his posting on the social media site.
I kind of liken it to, you know, having a drink with a friend at a bar or something and telling them how I feel about things. It's just that on Facebook I can do it on a much larger scale, and people that are interested in talking to me about it would say something, and those who are not interested would ignore it.
Even though he says his wife is blocked from his Facebook page, she somehow saw this picture and read comments from friends. Mark is a photographer, but says his wife painted an unfair picture of him to a domestic relations court, and the court ruled that Facebook comments violated a civil protection order against him. Now he must post this apology every day for 30 days, or go to jail for 60 days.
On one hand, I've been told that I can't say what I want to say on Facebook, and now I'm also being told that I must say something that they're telling me that I have to say, this pre-written apology.
It's going to garner a lot of attention.
Attorney Jill Meyer says the case may make national headlines because social media is still so new.
And what the courts have said is that the notion of preventing somebody from speaking or compelling somebody to speak raises the same constitutional First Amendment issue.
Mark says he just wants freedom of speech and to see his son more often.
People really enjoy the freedom that they have on the Internet and on Facebook especially, where they can go out and talk about, you know, how they feel about things.
Now, I did actually try to contact Mark's wife, but couldn't get a hold of her. I did get a hold of the office of both the judge and the magistrate in this case, and I was told that because of the Code of Judicial Conduct, they can't do any commenting, no discussion about a pending case. Reporting live in the newsroom, Terry Daniels, News 5.
JC, did you hear that? Please tell me you heard that story.
What did he post?
JC, are you there?
Yeah, give me one second. Hold on.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you saw that you heard that story. So the bottom line is that his wife is blocked from his own Facebook page. His wife is blocked from his Facebook page. He posts something personal to the people that he knows on there. It's probably some Susan Frickrod. And you know who you are.
I was listening to the story.
Can you believe that? That's a freedom of speech case right there, bottom line.
That is a freedom of speech case, without question.
He posted a story talking about how he was angry about being divorced from his wife and not seeing his son. You know, he's just venting.
Right.
And they
as most people do on Facebook.
Yeah, it's what everybody does on Facebook, you know. And the wife somehow saw the posting. He was ordered to write an apology every day, post an apology every day, a written apology every day for 30 days, or go to jail for 60. That's insane.
What idiotic judge would have done that? What judge ended his career with that one?
Yeah, exactly. He better have been on his way out. I mean, come
most
on,
time,
man. How do you not protect the rights of free speech?
Well, it's funny you would say that. Because the stolen valor,
the argument
just talking about,
is free speech. Yeah.
That's their argument.
That's their argument, that it is free speech, that it's protected under free speech laws. But, you know,
it's a lie.
But remember, you know, free speech is protected under the law, except you do something like scream fire at a movie theater. I mean, that's not protected speech.
Well, United States
versus
Alvarez, which is bringing up the recent controversy, he claimed to have gotten the Congressional Medal of Honor. And
really?
And it turns out he didn't.
Well, he didn't earn it.
No, he didn't. And the Stolen Valor Act, which was signed into law by George Bush, was in 2006. The Stolen Valor Act of 2005 finally was signed into law in December of 2006.
I want to know. See if we can find out who wrote that law. Because, you know, I mean, George W. Bush can sign it into law, but it had to be written by a congressman. You know, somebody wrote it. So, I mean, I don't know who would have, but I'd like to know whether or not it was somebody from the Armed Forces Committee who actually wrote the legislation.
Well, the act was first introduced to the United States House of Representatives in July 9th of 2005 by Representative John Salazar.
Oh, yeah.
Democrat from Colorado, yeah.
Yeah.
Was introduced into the Senate.
Is.
Yep, it was introduced into the Senate by Senator Ken Conrad, North Dakota.
Conrad's Republican of North Dakota.
He's actually, I believe, Democrat.
Is he a Democrat from North Dakota?
Yeah, yes.
But he's got to be on the Senate Arms Committee. But
I imagine he has to be.
If anybody uses their, because like this guy with 9/11, I don't know whether or not, in essence, but the firefighters and the police officers, in essence, they were in a war. I mean, we were being attacked.
Right.
And being a first responder, whether or not it's to save lives or anything, is that, in essence, we would have been more or less commissioned in some way to respond in a wartime effort.
The minute that plane hit the building, we were at war.
Absolutely. I think that, but you're absolutely right, because it had it been military medics, they would still get, you know, the Medal of Honor.
Or even prior to that, Reese, the minute they hijacked the planes, we were at war.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so there, absolutely, it would be. I mean, I think it would fall under stolen valor.
Yeah.
I think that is. Once you turn around and say that. But, you know, did he benefit from it? I don't think so.
That's kind of the catch, is that you can't benefit from it.
Well, if you benefit from it, then I would agree that it was stolen valor because he used it for profit.
Right.
But in this case, it only appears that the only thing he received was applause.
And even now, with the case getting as huge as it's been, I'm sure once the book is written or the movie script is ready to go, he'll get paid from it then.
Yeah, probably so. Hey, another stupid story that I heard, and we'll get into some more celebrity stuff in the last half hour. Did you hear this thing about Sissy Houston? Aretha Franklin tells the Associated Press that Sissy Houston raised raised her well.
Well? I thought I heard wrong.
No, well. Aretha Franklin says Sissy Houston raised her daughter Whitney Houston well. And that an interview where Franklin said parents need to make sure children leave home prepared was taken out of context. Now, look, the bottom line is Whitney never left home. Okay?
No.
When Whitney left home, Whitney married Bobby. Whitney was very active with her mother.
And Mama was always there.
Mama was always there. So now people talking this junk about how she raised her well. Aretha Franklin is another dummy. Okay? Just a straight up idiot.
I think she's losing her mind as she gets older.
No, she's always been dumb, dude.
No.
Always dumb. Yes.
No. She was one of the true divas that I respected for her intelligence. I think she started to lose it. Back at the initial VH1 Divas, when they started that diva dilly dally that they do every year. That's when she started to lose it.
All of them are dumb. They are dumb. Okay, I don't care who they are or what they do. None of these people are rocket scientists. They are dumb. And she is a moron. Okay?
99.9% of the world is dumb.
Well, a lot of them are. She was expected to sing at the funeral in Newark, New Jersey, in Houston's hometown, but she brought up because of a leg spasm. A leg spasm? She said she suffered after a concert at Radio City Music Hall the night before.
She could have come up with a better lie than that.
But she performed again at Radio City the night of Houston's funeral.
I think she could have came up with a better lie.
Golly.
That was bullshit.
There were some reports that Houston's mother was upset over Franklin's remarks and that Franklin was uninvited, according to... that sounds more realistic. Sissy Houston took offense at Aretha Franklin's comments on NBC talking to Al Roker, which is dumb, saying that, and this is her quote, according to the report. Well, actually, she said it. So Franklin said, I think parents have to really talk to their children before they leave home, that they leave home prepared. Really. She left home with all the right things. Now she's saying that there's a problem. I don't know. Whatever. I don't care. I don't care. How pathetic.
Yeah, but Aretha has lost her mind, though.
Yeah, I know. I think you believe that. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean,
she was on a worldwide tour, and was supposed to come here. She was supposed to come to Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut, and she canceled her tour abruptly. Said she had a medical condition.
Right.
And she popped up on TV 6 months later, 85 pounds lighter.
Ooh. Sounds like a procedure to me. Let's do the top of the hour.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Mercy.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?
And it's Reach on the Radio right here on Therapy Thursday on blogtalkradio.com/Reach on the Radio. Again, you want to see those Whitney Houston pictures? That's only one. If you want to see it, go to ReachOnTheRadio.com. You can see it yourself. Get a nice, good look at her. You can see her in her glory. She looks great. There's no denying it. Woman looks great. Whoever the mortician was made her look stunning. I don't believe that it was nice for them to refer to it as the last photo, but she looks stunning.
Well, I guess in essence it was, but what I find more eerie is I was watching, I know we're going to get to Therapy Thursday, but I was watching Entertainment Tonight, and it just started showing clips of the movie Sparkle.
Ooh, and, really?
Yeah, and they started showing clips of the movie Sparkle, and it's funny because they showed her, Whitney, singing in the church up at the front of the church, and it looked eerily like she was at her own funeral.
Ooh. All right, I may have to check out that video.
It was kind of odd.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, now what's the problem?
Let's get into Therapy Thursday. Now, what I don't know whether or not a lot of you have been checking out Facebook. I don't know anybody's been checking it out. But I made a proclamation today. I mean, I've been considering something. And I don't want anybody to get alarmed. Okay? I don't want anybody freaking out. Okay? But it's a very important thing that I have to admit to. So before anybody starts making some claims, I do not want sympathy. I don't need it. It's not about me pulling at people's heartstrings. It's not about all of that. I just want to express something to you that has gone over my mind over and over again, but I don't want anybody flipping out. Okay? I want you to deal with it the way that it's being presented to you. So if I'm giving you a preamble, so to speak, do not flip out. Do not get weird. Do not start calling people. Do not start suggesting that I see somebody. That's what Therapy Thursday is about. So when you talk these things out, you keep them raw. I don't keep it real. I keep it raw. So sometimes I touch a nerve. So you're going to hear something today that may make you uncomfortable. I have considered suicide. I have to say that. And don't start jumping onto the mics, guys. Don't do that yet. But I have to be honest. And I need to be honest about why it is that that's starting to look tantalizing to me. And it's not a give-up thing. And I know that there's no excuse for it, and I know what I'm going to hear. I'm going to hear a thousand things all over the place about, yes, it is giving up, and blah, 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 blah. See, I used to have a moniker back in my early days of doing radio. And see, I'm not some type of person that will, you know, turn around and change his position midstream or change my position when it suits me. JC will attest to this. When I was with the Star and Buck Wild show, Star and I used to say, you can't feed your family, off yourself. You can't get it done, can't go out there and work what it is you need to do, put the gun in your mouth. Off yourself. So the bottom line is, yo, look, you can't deal. End it. If this is it, you can't get it done, you are not a productive member of society, you're going to have to do it. Now, again, I am not someone, everybody knows, when you get down to that point in your life, hey, look, if I'm going to talk it, I got to be about it, right? So I can't help but be honest. It has crossed my mind. It can't help but cross my mind. Not just because it's tough. You know, look, I've been through tough before. You know, I've been through that all over again. But you know what? I'm kind of tired. And after a while, it's about fatigue. It's not about feeling sorry for yourself or anything. Sometimes you just get fatigued. And I'm fatigued. I'm kind of going, you know what, this isn't really going where I hoped. So you can't help but kind of feel done. Now, look, I have not thought of ways to do it. I'm not looking at prescriptions. I'm not purchasing a gun from some drug dealer down the block. I'm not tying anything to the ceiling. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm just saying that if I was in therapy, I would tell my therapist this. That's what Therapy Thursday's about. But it can't always be about silliness and garbage and some of this, you know, passive stuff. You know, just get over yourself, Reese. This is real. And I wanted to let you know that sometimes it gets real. And this is how real it gets. So you guys are going to have to respond now. You're going to have to deal with it. Because now it's not so funny. And I understand that because I wasn't trying to be. I said that I was going to be honest and it was going to be a tough one. It was going to be tougher than you ever heard. So don't start weeping and going nuts and doing all that other stuff. Here's an opportunity for you to earn your stripes. The number is 347-308-8701. All right, guys, my intrepid crew. Have at it.
I don't know what to do.
Well, do you feel as though you're at that point? Or have you felt as though you're at that point?
I've felt that way for a couple of weeks now. Maybe even months.
Have you considered thought about seeing somebody about it?
I don't need to see anybody about it. I'm already seeing somebody about it. I'm seeing you guys. This isn't professional help. I'm not taking medication. You're not going to put me on.
No. I'm not trying to stick you in a room with a Zoloft sandwich or in a little trash like that.
I appreciate it.
I've been there.
Everybody feels that at some point. Come on, James, be honest. You never been there?
Twice.
There you go, my man. So let's be real. You know?
I think in Hartford, one time down in the studio, down in 104.1.
Mm-hmm.
Do you call me showing you the slices in my wrist?
What did you say to me just now? Say that again.
The slices in my wrist.
And you had bandages on, didn't you?
I don't have no bandages. No. No. I haven't tried to slice my wrist since I was 14.
Well, what were you talking about slicing your wrist? I didn't hear that part.
No, when I think I showed it down to you, down when we're down to 104.1. When we were talking in the studio after we're those attempted recordings.
Uh-huh. I'm not remembering that, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk that about that at another time. But the bottom line is,
I've been where you are emotionally, but me was as a kid.
Right.
As an adult, no, because I know for me, I have too much to live for. I know that I'm not necessarily going through the problems and issues that you're dealing with, and you've been dealt a very, very ugly hand. And you've actually thought about it.
Can't help it. Can't help thinking about it sometimes. Because to be honest with you, there's a part of me that's just sort of saying, you know,
so you want it to go away.
Not, you know what it is? It's not so much about, you know, most people can turn around and just say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being kicked around. It's time for me to push back. And that's true, because that's normally what I would do in any situation. I'm sick and tired of being pushed around, and I would push back. That would be any situation. Any situation.
But, and I see this as no different for you.
No.
You wouldn't take a deal, a sweet deal, that would have made all of this go away, except for the fact of something that will be written on a website somewhere, for those who actually searches those and follow those. I don't know too many people that do, but you turned on a deal that could have gotten you free a very long time ago. And you basically told them, no, you're not taking it to, in lack of a better term, kiss your rump.
I can't
see you taking that, I can't call it a coward way out, but that would be too easy. That would be too easy for you. And that's not true, and that's not in your nature.
I appreciate what you say about being too easy. And that's probably what it is that I look at it as, because there's always that part that just goes, what if you miss something?
And you know what? Not only that, but you hate to lose.
This is true.
That's
the compelling part, JC. Hating to lose is exactly what I'm talking about.
You're basically tipping your chess figure.
No, you know what? Hating to lose, why it drives me up the wall, hating to lose, is that knowing that I'm in a no-win situation. Let me explain to you why. Because the only way that I see this, and I've seen no one be able to explain this to me, like, in other words, explain this away from the situation. The only thing I see in all of this is O.J. Simpson. Now, what do I mean by that?
How, although he was found not guilty, the public still shunned him and looked at him the way they did.
Bottom line.
And especially
in a case like mine, the bottom line is that you already did it. It doesn't matter whether or not you were acquitted or not. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is that the court of public opinion has already indicted you, tried you, and convicted you.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
No,
wait a minute, JC. You guys have been talking. Wait a minute. Based off of what you just said, the courts see it that way.
I understand that.
No one that you know, no one that cares about you, not your friends, not your family, not the people that mean the most to you, and everybody else should mean nothing, think that way.
Well, what about getting a job?
Yeah, that's the problem. It's what he loves to do. He's worried
about
he's not going to be able to go back to do what it is that he loves to do.
Part of society. What about doing the things that I want to do? The bottom line is that your name is always out there. Again, how it is that I fulfill myself, I can't fulfill myself off my family and my friends. I can't possibly live off them. If that's the case, if I could do that, there's no reason for me to feel this way. But the bottom line is that that's what... Because I am, regardless of what anybody ever thinks, I'm a public figure.
It's who I am. It's embedded in me that I'm a public figure. It's who I am. And once that's taken away from me, it's, I understand it. But it's keeping me from being who it is that I am. And so with that, if that person doesn't exist, I'm already dead.
But what you have to keep in mind is that person is on a break right now and is going through some trials and tribulations.
All right.
That
as
will,
we all do.
Eventually, you will see why all of this had to happen, and I believe that. I know you're. It's horrific.
Roman Polanski gets more freaking credit than I do. Roman Polanski actually committed his crime.
Yeah.
Crying out. And the guy wins Oscars, makes films, lives in a mansion in France. It's who I am.
He also has his day of reckoning. I mean, granted, yeah, you are a public figure. And hopefully by the time that this is all said and done, not to say that, I mean, what it would be a blessing if most of your public forgot about you. I know Boston
right.
won't.
I
know
oh,
Boston
I know
won't.
I cannot believe James
New, New
has
York,
not said
New York
anything.
City may be another issue.
James has probably not said anything yet because he's probably standing in the middle of the floor in his house somewhere with his mouth hanging to the ground.
James?
Kelly needs to come and help him lift his jaw up.
James? I'm here. I have no idea what to say. I mean, you said it yourself. You're not looking for anyone to give you any advice.
Oh, he's looking for advice. He's not looking for sympathy.
I'm not looking for sympathy.
Then I'm not going to give you any.
I don't want to be. No.
Then
I said advice or understanding where it is that I'm coming from or what it is you feel about what it is I said, that's all fine and good. But I don't want sympathy. I'm not looking for sympathy.
Right.
But I'm looking for what you feel about what you just heard.
Look. As I said, I have my own feelings about that, especially with the whole giving up thing, you know. As I said, I've tried twice myself, so I'm not the person to pretty much say anything, because anything I'm going to say is going to be biased on my own experience.
That's fine. I want it to be biased on your own experience. That's what therapy is about.
Well, first, I don't believe it. Truthfully,
really?
I don't. Because
no,
if you're really that serious, you wouldn't be talking about it. All right?
Okay,
now,
that's a fair argument.
All right? And, you know, if no one can say that the thought hasn't crossed their mind. It's just...
Okay.
Didn't I
express that? I said consider. That's what I said. I didn't say I'm going to commit suicide. I said I considered it.
But in the same breath, you're just like, if I can't be who I am...
Again, I'm explaining why I've considered it. I'm only talking about why I've considered it. That's all I'm talking about.
No, we're not trying to do an intervention.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't an intervention. You said if I was going to do it, I would have done it. I never said, guys, I'll see you. I'm out of here tomorrow. I'm not saying that, James. I'm saying I'm discussing that I've considered it. If you read the post that I put on Facebook, it said it's Therapy Thursday. Tune in to find out why Reese is considering suicide.
That sounds to me like it's possible. That you're going to do
it's
that
a consideration. To consider it means that I'm thinking it's an option.
But you should never think that.
That is an honest feeling, and I'm expressing an honest feeling. James, is that fair to say? Is that better than saying I'm going to commit it?
I said
I'm talking about the consideration. I'm not saying, hey, tomorrow, guys, I'm out of here. I'm saying, look, right, if that were the case, I would have never told anyone. But I considered it. It was something I needed to come out with because I've been considering it.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're ever going to get to that point. So there's not much, you know, there's nothing I can say that
is
going to matter much, because I don't believe it's ever going to get to that point. You'd never allow that to happen. Yeah, it's a consideration. Sure, everyone has a weak moment. But you actually going through with the deed, never going to happen. So I don't have to say anything about it.
Please tell me why.
Hold on.
I want to know why James doesn't think I'll go through with it.
Because you are too vain. That's why.
Too vain?
And you're a coward.
And he's stuck on himself.
Oh, James.
James, you said I'm a coward?
Yeah. Because, you know what, you keep saying that, you consider it. But one thing I haven't heard at any time is how would you go about it? Now, you don't like pain, right? And, you know, just you would talk yourself out of it simply because you would never actually find a way to do it that would be acceptable to you.
What? So you say there would have to be pain?
You'd never come up with one plan. Never. It wouldn't happen. You went pros and cons about everything. I don't need to talk. You're going to talk yourself out of it.
Okay.
All right.
I think you made some sense there.
You've made a lot.
I think he made the most sense. All right. No problem. All right. So there's no reason to consider it. I think you win.
Yep.
And that's therapy Thursday.
That's all that it took?
That's all it took. I'm good.
Thank you, Mr. Montgomery.
I think that was pretty good.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you
doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz. There's Dr. Phil. There's Dr. Drew. There's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion. But I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
All right, we're back at Reese on the Radio on this Therapy Thursday, February 23rd, 2012. Number's 347-308-8701. Oh, and that boy is back in the news. You know who he is. I can't even sing one song by him. Chris Brown. In the news again. And for doing what? What could he possibly have done now? What could this boy, woman beater, what could he have possibly done now? Well, according to the Daily News, Chris Brown is under investigation for allegedly stealing a woman's cell phone after an angry confrontation in Florida last weekend. Police have said the singer, who's still on probation for assaulting Rihanna back in 2009, was leaving a Miami Beach nightclub early on Sunday when a woman approached him and snapped a photo with her iPhone. The alleged victim, named Crystal, she's 24 years old. She told officers she and some friends had followed Chris Brown out of a club and took a photo while he was sitting in the back of a black Bentley. Brown allegedly reached through his car window, snatched her phone from her hands, and said, "Biatch! You ain't going to..." Sorry. I have to do that the way that he's supposed to say it. "Biatch, you ain't going to put that on the website." Brown rolled up his window and drove off with Crystal's smartphone, she told police. "We do have an allegation at an open case, according to the report. We're looking into it." And that came from the Miami Beach spokesperson, Juan Sanchez. Brown, who's 22, could face serious repercussions if the allegations lead to a criminal case while he is still on probation in Los Angeles.
Okay.
But he skated through a similar storm last month after throwing a temper tantrum at an ABC studio in New York that triggered a response by the New York Police Department. In that incident, Brown reportedly trashed the dressing room, hurled a chair at a window, and ripped off his T-shirt after Good Morning America co-host Robin Roberts questioned him about roughing up Rihanna. ABC staffers called security, and insider told the Daily News then that what happened, but a formal complaint was never filed with authorities. The judge handling his case didn't even mention the incident as a subsequent probation progress report. So, Chris Brown is upset because a woman took a picture of him in the back of a black Bentley. Now, I know, JC, you've got some opinions about this. Bitch!
I can almost assure you that picture,
yes,
unbeknownst to the woman whose camera it was, or iPhone it was,
uh-huh,
he was sitting next to somebody that he did not want that picture going public with.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
That picture is probably worth about $250,000 to whom? The Inquirer.
Damn right.
Yeah,
or maybe even to him. Well, if you offered it back to him, it's probably worth $500,000.
See, she has a smartphone, and on smartphones, can't you access the same information that you do on your phone on your computer?
Well, if she's smart, she has iCloud, because everything sticks a photo up, goes right back to her home computer. Bitch!
Or her Facebook page.
Bitch!
Now, if that
I think
is what
she got the chance. Did he grab the phone after she had just snapped the picture? I don't think she got a chance.
But remember, if she snapped the picture, it automatically, it's an iCloud. So everything that happens on your iPhone goes directly to your iPad or your computer at home. So if she has a laptop, if she has iCloud, which a lot of people do, everything you do on one ends up on the other. So you can literally, all your emails, all that stuff, everything ends up on every device you have that's an Apple device. That's what iCloud is all about. In essence, right, everything is running simultaneously. Bitch! There ain't got it on the website.
He didn't want his picture taken. No pictures. No picture.
No pictures, bitch.
Matter of fact, I would put her up on charges for stalking.
You rent a public nightclub, bitch.
Wait, I want to know. Well, how come nobody's talking about the fact
she followed him out? That's still.
Oh my God.
You're absolutely right. Why are you following me, bitch?
Listen. Why isn't anybody talking about the fact that Jamie, wait a minute, or Jay, whatever.
Go ahead.
Kool-Aid man. Why isn't anybody talking about the fact, none of you have even mentioned the fact that, okay, yeah, you're still on probation for physically abusing Rihanna, but now because you snatched some biatch's iPhone, you do that much better than I do.
I love it. Biatch!
Because he snatched a phone. Right. It was a phone. He didn't whip her. He didn't snatch the phone and then beat her with it. Right. He didn't want his picture taken.
Wait.
But that's a crime. He snatched her phone.
Snatched her phone. Right. And they're going to. And what she did as well was a crime as well.
Which, according to the DC Guardian Angels, has become a major problem.
That's right.
What,
remember,
snatching people's phones?
Right,
yes.
Snatching her cell phone is a robbery, and in this case, it's a robbery. He snatches her cell phone, even though she has it up.
40%.
She clicks the phone. He snatches her property, and not only that, calling her bitch is enough to get him a verbal assault charge.
Verbal assault charge. Well, then you can bring her up on charges for stalking. Either way, it's just as ridiculous.
I would countercharge her as well. But the bottom line is that taking a picture isn't illegal.
No, it's not. And not only that, but he's already on probation.
And he's on probation. This looks bad on him. And he's got public displays of erratic behavior, especially beating Rihanna's ass. This don't look good while you're on probation.
Then we'll just
talk.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, it just strikes me as funny that it wouldn't have been a crime if he'd have just erased the picture and threw the phone out the window.
Oh, but
that'd be no crap.
If he had thrown it out the window, she could have called damages. She could have said he damaged her phone in some sort of way. If it had
been on the window, pay for it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think there would be a charge on that one.
Well, yeah, it would probably be. She would probably.
Or the phone?
Yeah. I don't know what that's. I don't know that. Speaking of biatch, let me.
And wait a minute. Speaking of biatch, how does she spell her name?
Crystal.
Is it Crystal or Crystal? I want to know.
According to the story, I'll tell you. Hold on.
Her name was.
Her name was. She does spell it differently. I will say. I will admit that.
She spell it Crystal.
Yeah, no, she spell. Yeah, it's funny. She does spell it Crystal.
There you go. All right. You know what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, this is actually interesting because when I see stories like this, I always get weirded out. Not in a sense like, you know, weirded like they're strange. Now, okay, I guess strange is the appropriate word. I guess it's also odd. I don't understand why this has been happening. Okay, let me just read the story. It seems perfectly natural that we value others' opinion of us. People seek feedback. Post a picture, make a comment, like, all that other stuff. But apparently there's this new trend with teenage girls. Some of the girls, from what the report that I've read, the girls were as young as like 12, 13, 14, even 11. But some of the reports, they've been doing this thing called Am I Ugly? On YouTube. Apparently, there have been dozens of photos of young girls asking anonymous and notoriously judgmental YouTube community to judge how they look.
Well, this isn't new.
Well, I know that. We know that that isn't new. But why is this becoming a trend for younger girls?
Well, that's where the trend started in the first place.
Oh,
you know,
I don't remember.
Way back when it was called RateMe.com.
Really?
These were young people because it was, you know, the high school kids who wanted to be rated, you know, on their looks because they wanted to be popular or, you know, it was a status symbol.
Rating.
And where do you see more status being an impetus on pretty much everything than in high school and in young kids?
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Do we really need a website for girls to be online asking complete strangers to rate how they look?
I'm just thinking with young girls and their self-esteem already on a razor thin line. Your self-esteem is already shaky. And, you know, kids being as cruel as they are, you're never going to get an honest comment. You're really not.
You know, that's true. And God forbid, if somebody you know from your school finds you on there asking people whether or not you're ugly, then you know that girl, her name's probably Tiffany, she's going to get on there and go, yeah, you look like a wet rat. Yes. The point is, she is going to be. I mean, this has caused girls to hang themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This caused one girl broke up with a guy in Staten Island we talked about on the show. The girl walked in front of a bus because her boyfriend left her and left her for another girl she thought was prettier.
But I blame Beyonce for it.
Really?
I thought,
why would you blame Beyonce? Beyonce sits up there and says things like, I'm independent, irreplaceable.
It's a body movement.
Come on, man.
She says she's independent, but her body movement says everything else.
Huh?
Girls do not want to look like
that.
You're going to have to explain that one.
Listen, you could scream you're independent, that you're independent, but when you shake and gyrating and pulsating and dropping it like it's hot, like you on a pole, that says that you're not looking for independence. You're looking for assistance, in the way of dollars. To me,
amen.
Whoa! You're saying
in
that
the way
Beyonce,
of dollars.
You're saying that
you,
Beyonce is not.
You could cry a good, squeaky, clean, wholesome image I mean, just like with Britney Spears. And but your actions say something totally different.
I'm not saying you can't blame Beyonce for that. Okay, I understand that media paints a false image of women.
No,
I don't
know. No, but I'm saying young girls.
Do. It's not the media,
Ellie.
Women themselves.
Looks. With their looks, but that's all you see on TV nowadays. I mean, you're watching the video channel. Well, Beyonce just shook her ass in two or three videos. Now a commercial comes on and she's on a Pepsi commercial. And then something else, the L'Oreal commercial comes on, she's on L'Oreal.
Let me explain. See, this is what I don't understand. Let me explain. I don't know one television show or popular television show this is what I'm saying. I'm not blaming the media, but I'm just saying I don't know anything in the media that promotes what it is that I see from young girls eons after eons after eons. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. My stepdaughter used to have this one problem. It was her biggest issue. I think she still kind of suffers from it. Her biggest deal was she had to have a boyfriend. She was so crazy about having a boyfriend. Had to have one. Why? Because she knew other girls who had a boyfriend. That was the trend. Having a boyfriend. I know why girls do it, because it's very honest. What they want is they want to see someone who loves and cares about them. They want to receive something that's intimate. Girls need that. You can't get that kind of intimacy from your dad or from your mom or from your little brother or your brother. You can't get that. So girls
can, but, you know, get brought up on charges.
Yes, exactly.
Unless you're in West Virginia.
Unless you're Mormon. I mean, you know, then again, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Oh, West Virginian. Appalachians.
But the point is that these girls want to feel this adoration from boys. Now, here's where I think that problem lies. I think that girls, the media that they do watch, it's always movies and television shows, our television shows, that always promote to them falling in love. Fall in love, fall in love, fall in love. This is what the media keeps pushing them through. Lifetime Network, the Hallmark Channel. Most of their broadcasting is geared towards young women. Look at the ABC Family Channel. It's always geared towards the girl.
Lovers.
Yeah, the girl who sees a cute boy and wants to fall in love, and now they all think that that should be their norm. And when they don't have that, what do? They're online talking about, I'm too ugly, or am I ugly? Go ahead, Mary.
Okay.
As a woman, I should let you speak. What am I doing?
I don't know. You're going way off in left field. Okay, first of all, yes, the media plays a part in showing women how we should be. It's not just girls that think like that. Women think the same way. But in today's day and age, there are more single women and more women that are just not putting up with just anything because they have somebody by their side.
No, but see, young girls don't find that ideal.
Well,
young
but
girls,
they will, because when we were young, we didn't see that either.
No.
So
remember, if single parentage, see, your point is, if single parentage was so popular, there wouldn't be so many young girls trying to seek the adoration of young men. There wouldn't be an epidemic of it. Would we see the stuff that we're seeing today if single women had such an influence on our young girls? They wouldn't care, would they?
No, I'm not saying that single women have such an influence on our girls. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, in today's day and age, you see more single women, more single independent women, and guys steer clear of those women. But you see more women that way and more girls wanting to do something better with their lives than just be worried about boys. You do see that in today's age more than ever. Because just like when my mom was coming up, it was embedded in her that she find a husband,
get married,
have children, be a housewife, you know, stuff like that. So that, it was embedded in a different way, though. It wasn't embedded in such a, like it is embedded today to have a boyfriend or whatever, because I understand what your point is. It's just shown in a different fashion today than what it was shown in the 50s and the 60s.
Yeah, but I would just say, if the women's movement ever needed an example of being pushed back another 20, 30, 40 years, all you have to do is look at a teenage girl. Teenage girls are dying for the affection of boys.
But that could also be happening because they're not
literally.
their passion.
Yeah, but again, you're right. Literally dying for the affection of boys.
But that has to start at home, too. I mean, you...
Think about it. If a girl is in a single household living with her mother, and she's still so hell-bent on getting a boyfriend, obviously her mother's single parentage is not an influence. It's probably a negative influence on a young girl if she's so interested in boys. Remember, I'm pretty sure her single mother, and I don't want to broad stroke this on single women, but single mothers, but there's a sense of bitterness that I'm sure plays out in everyday life that this girl sees, and she is trying to reach the antithesis of that on a regular basis. Or else you wouldn't have these girls online trying to find out whether or not they're pretty enough. Who do they want to be pretty for? Boys.
Maybe they want to be pretty for girls.
All right, that's totally on this subject. You're so sick.
Yeah, but girls are going to be worse on them than boys are.
Okay, I agree. You're absolutely right. So you're saying that they want
the girls are going to be harsher.
I believe that the girls, forget about it. There's no allegiance there. There's
sure.
No.
Come on, man. If her shoes don't match her purse, she's getting ripped apart.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no allegiance there. You're absolutely right. Girls are quick to scrutinize other girls about their hairstyle, their nose, their eyes, you know, their body parts. You're too skinny. You're too big. Guys don't do that. You know, guys are more reluctant nowadays to say anything about a girl that's offensive. You know, guys.
What's the most famous line that come out of their mouth? I can't
do her.
She came out of her mouth, out of her house looking like that.
Absolutely.
Look at her shoes.
Absolutely.
Mm.
It's sad, but it's true. I just I don't understand the trend. I don't see the women's movement doing anything to secure these girls.
They're not.
I don't see them doing anything to make sure that these young girls are have a sense of independence.
No, they're being told to throw their hands up. Throw your hands up. Oh. That's what they got to look forward to.
Well, I don't know who's more responsible for this growing trend with young girls, but
it's the Republican Party that's the culprit. It's the no.
Oh, that was funny. I'm a plain Republican Party. I don't know who they get from, but obviously, you know, the women's movement isn't doing their job.
Well, it's because the women's movement may be to show these women how to be independent and not fight, how to be independent financially, not be dependent on a man to fulfill them financially, because we have the ability to go out and do that ourselves. However, as a woman, you have something inside of you. I mean, you yearn for a man. You yearn for their love. You yearn for their acceptance, regardless of whether you come from a two-family home or a one-parent home. It doesn't matter. You still yearn for that as a woman.
So just say it. There you go. That's what it was. I knew it. You can't live without it.
And
not licking y'all. I know you can't live without it. We'll be back. We'll wrap it up, y'all. Three, seven, four.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Ooh, love hurts.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my f***ing ass! I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his shit outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about f***ing his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on dogtalkradio.com.
It's Reese on the radio. We are back right here on blogtalkradio.com. Last time in the coming show, it's such a great story. Number 347-308-8701. Let me get right into it because, listen, everybody is crazy about the New York Knicks basketball player Jeremy Lin, who is, of course, of Asian descent. Who's now, tonight, he's playing against the Miami Heat in Miami. This headline says it all, folks. Because there's been such mania behind Jeremy Lin that and so much controversy behind news reporters who have put out these sort of Lin puns, these Jeremy Lin puns. The headline on Yahoo News reads like this: Asian American Journalist Association releases guidelines on Jeremy Lin coverage. Given the media's Lin sanity surrounding Jeremy Lin, perhaps it was inevitable. Following justified outrage, as they put in the article, over several examples of racially insensitive coverage of Lin, including a headline published by ESPN.com, which resulted in the firing of one staffer and the suspension of another, the Asian American Journalists Association has issued a set of guidelines for media outlets salivating over the NBA's Asian American sensation. This is what they said, in quote, "As NBA player Jeremy Lin's prowess on the court continues to attract international attention and grab headlines, the AAJA would like to remind media outlets about relevance and context regarding coverage of race. The group wrote in this thing, in the past weeks, as more news outlets report on Lin, his game, and his story, the AAJA has noticed factual inaccuracies about Lin's background, as well as an alarming number of references that rely on stereotypes about Asians and Asians American. Among the danger zones identified by the Asian American Journalist Association, you are not allowed to use the term chink, pejorative. Do not use in context involving an Asian person or someone who is Asian American. Extreme care is needed if using the well-trod phrase chink in the armor. Be mindful that the context does not involve Asia, Asians, or Asian Americans." And wait. This is really on the memo. "Me love you, Lin time." Avoid this. "This is a lazy pun on the athlete's name and alludes to the broken English of a Hollywood caricature from the 1980s. The AAJA urged caution when discussing Lynn's physical characteristics, particularly those that feminize, emasculate the Asian male. Cinderella's story, angles should not place Lynn in a dress. Discussions of genetic differences in athletic ability among races should be avoided. In referring to Lynn's height or vision, be mindful of the context and avoid invoking stereotypes about Asians.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. The group added, stop to think, would a similar statement be made about an athlete who is Caucasian, African American, or Latino? Below are the AAJA's guidelines in full. Anyway, I'm not going to read all of them, but you can read all of them. Okay, so here are the danger zones. As aforementioned, chink, you can't say that one. Driving, you can't talk about driving. So we can't even use the word, hey. For an Asian, he sure can't drive the lane. Can't use that one. Eye shape, this is irrelevant. Do not make such references in discussing Lynn's vision. Food, is there a compelling reason to draw a connection between Lynn and fortune cookies? Takeout boxes or similar imagery?
Oh, my God.
In the majority of news coverage, the answer will be no. Martial arts, you're writing about a basketball player. Don't conflate his skills to judo, karate, taekwondo, etc. Do not refer to Lynn as grasshopper. I can't believe they wrote this. Or similar names associated with martial arts stereotypes. The aforementioned We Love You Lynn Time and Yellow Mamba. What?
What is that?
Well, because Kobe Bryant's called the Black Mamba, so we can't call him the Yellow Mamba. Come on, guys. This is, we got 4 minutes. James, this is out of line, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I would say they were just rambling on, but then again, I can't use that. I can't believe that they're actually changing the word chink in the armor, or are they actually trying to make an assumption that, you know, the word is in the English language.
Oh, they're not trying to change the word, chink.
They're saying not to use it in referring to Lynn, even though chink in the armor has nothing to do with him at all. Nothing. They're talking about him as they did, because the ESPN reporter ESPN.com writer was fired, and then an ESPN reporter who said, is there a chink in the armor, when he was talking about the loss that they had suffered the night before, he was suspended for 30 days for using the term chink in the armor, even though he openly said, well, chink in the armor is a phrase. I wasn't associating with a stereotype. Like, it had nothing to do with that. It's like, now you're changing the entire lexicon entirely. Like, that was ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, wow, political correctness run amok.
Wow. Sooner or later, you know, it's going to be pretty soon where you're not going to be able to speak at all. We're just going to talk in hand gestures. But then they're going to say it's gang signs. So
yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. It's sad. What are you going to do?
It's hilarious.
It is hilarious. That part, I mean, I'm sorry. That is just hilarious. Anyway. We're out of here, folks. That's the end of the show. We will see you tomorrow, Friday night. We'll end out your week right here on Reason Radio. James, of course, as always, thank you for joining us. For Mary, why you bugging it, JC, producer, it's Reason Radio. We will see you tomorrow, folks.
Long time.